Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day, good week, good month, good year. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. As always, my pleasure, my joy to be with you for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love easily devolve into the rabbit hole of BS. Bait and switch, or whatever else you want to accredit that to. I choose to live my life by the highest value I know to shoot for, and that is love. There is no value more credible, more secure, and more known in human experience or history to be the most revealing of all human nature, the most uphealing for human nature. So that's why I'm here every weekend to talk to you and to unpack the pilgrimage and the journey, the marathon, the race of love. Nobody has ever fully finished their reach for love. No one. Maybe Christ. No, let's take the maybe off there. Jesus Christ did. But you know, that was the epitome of history right there. God is love, and love is God, and he who dwells in love dwells in God. He who loves is born of God, is what 1 John says. And that's why Jesus said, I want you to live by one law. I've given you one commandment. Unlike Moses, who gave 10 commandments, Jesus said, I have one. And on this one law, all the law and prophets are hung. You could put your coat on this coat hanger, and it will carry all the law. And that is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemy. So to that end, I'm here to discuss this beautiful challenge called love. And I also bring here every week my love's creed that I wrote about a decade ago and refined it down to these words. So let me just share it with you in total. I'll come back and repeat it for you like I would for a marriage altar for the bride and groom to repeat after me. But first, here it is in total. If you want a copy of this, you can contact me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's all one word, randydeanministries, all lowercase, at gmail. I'd be happy to send you a copy. And no bait and switch for it. I'm not going to build an email list that I can start pounding you for donations. That's not who I am. I'm here to avoid all that BS. All right, here we go. Here's Alive to Love, the Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There's love's creed. Now let me give it to you in short bursts, and I'll ask you to repeat after me. All right? Are you ready? Let's square our hearts to it. And make sure when you say it, you put as much authenticity and intentionality into your words to hear yourself sign this verbal contract. Here we go. Repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Again, there's Love's Creed. I'll be happy to send that to you. So you can put it on a 3x5 card, hang it on your mirror in the bathroom when you're getting ready, or up on the visor of your car so you can look at it occasionally. Remind yourself during those moments where you're tempted to road rage. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. So I'd be happy to send you a copy so you can do this on a daily basis. Today, I'm feeling that poetic edge in my heart. I feel that sense every so often about this. And there's no better subject, right, than love to have that poetic sense about. There's no higher subject than love to say, wait a minute, isn't there a better way to live this life than to just have the mathematical equation, scientific research? How about the poetry, the artistry of love? I ran across not too long ago a quote from Father Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, a French priest from many years ago, also a theologian, philosopher, and scientist, who said these words. This really stirs my poetic and artistic juices. Here it is. Someday, after we have mastered the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And then for the second time in the history of the world, humanity will have discovered fire. Oh, what a magnificent short burst. What a great quote from Father Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. The undiscovered fire of love. We shall have discovered fire for the second time in history when we have harnessed the powers, the energies of love for God, as we have the waves, the tides, and gravity. Wow. So to that end, I want to wax just a bit artistic with you, to stir, to give you that sense that love, yes, love is a science, and it's been proven that medically we live a better life. Our life is lived in a more quality way when love is a presence that is routinely, daily, genuinely energized in our thoughts and in our priorities. So it is a science. And scientists have also studied the dopamine in our body as to how it functions when we are lovers. But beyond that, it's more than a science. It's more than an equation. Love stirs all of the artistic beauties of the human mind and heart. This is why I remain convinced that I'm 70 and I am convinced. I don't know one-tenth of what I wish I are. Maybe I could even say less than a tenth of what love is at this age. I know that love holds so many mysteries as to why the human condition is held in its arm as it is. So here's a poem that I wrote about love that, again, this is about my artistic stir here, all right? To that part of me where love lives, to the serenity of what love gives, with my prayer alive to love and my soul moving with love, I am shaped, I am still, I am loved, I love, and I find my will. It's a short poem that I wrote, but listen carefully to the parts and pieces of it. That's what I want to talk through today. To that part of me where love lives, I am utterly convinced that every one of us are living with the love nucleus inside of us. It's written in our DNA. I don't know how else that we could begin to explain why we love, but it's that part of us where love lives, no matter what happens to us. It's just that human instinct that we are born with to love our mom. When we are first out of the womb, we know there's a mom here somewhere that I love for carrying me. And the rest of my poem goes this way, to the serenity of what love gives. I want you to consider that when you are loving, love itself creates a peace and a settledness that nothing else can create. I see this at the most simple of all forms of love, and that is when a child has a pet, or even an adult, an older adult. Studies show that we live better lives when we have a pet, when we have a little dog, or a little parakeet, or you know, I'm not a cat person, but if you need a cat, then you live a little better life because you're living from something that is giving to a needy being, another creature other than yourself to live for. That's the serenity of what love gives. When we are able to look in the eyes of a puppy, when we're able to look into the face of a bird. I when I was a little guy, I used to have parakeets. And I'll tell you, something about that parakeet's adoration of me just kept me, as a kid, in a place of serenity. Also, always in my life, had a dog somewhere. And the eyes of a dog that look up at you as a partner in whatever you're doing. I just know that serenity is connected to love and love for something bigger than me. So in the rest of my poem, I say, with my prayer alive to love. You see, the greatest force of prayer isn't faith. People say, well, boy, if you're going to really have a prayer life, you need to have towering faith. Well, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 kind of shoots that down, because Paul said, if I have faith to move mountains, but I have love, I do not have love, then I am nothing. No thing. Without love, prayer to move mountains doesn't matter. I'm convinced, and in my prayer, or in my poem here, excuse me, I say, with my prayer alive to love. I was just praying on the way here to the radio station to record this broadcast, and I found myself simply focused on loving God in my prayer, saying what I had said what I need, and I said the Lord's Prayer a couple of times, but then it occurred to me that there's no prayer that really lives unless it loves. And my prayer, I found just in the instinct of it. This was before I planned on even sharing these words with you. My prayer was alive to love, and my soul was moving with love. It was that energy in me of love, not faith. In fact, I had questions in my prayer on the way to the station today. I had questions about why this and why that, oh God. Well, my soul was moving around the whys and the bumps in the road of life, and my soul was moving with love. I am shaped. I am still. I am loved. I love, and there I find my will. I believe the human will is energized by love, that the human will, in order to accomplish great things, must have some love for the greater good of all humanity. To that end, Father Pierre Teilhard de Chardin said, someday after we've mastered the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we'll harness for God the energies of love. And then, for the second time in history of the world, humanity will have discovered fire. The fire of love is what energizes our will. When my will to be a productive, kind human being is alive, well, I am shaped by that. That gives me purposes outside of myself. There's no greater love than this, right? This is what Jesus said. No greater love than this, that a person would lay down their life for their friends. This is what Jesus did. We're coming up on Memorial Day weekend here in the States, and We memorialize. I'm a little allergic to saying I celebrate Memorial Day, because it's not a celebration, it's a memory. It's a sober reminder that in the United States of America, 1 million soldiers have died to protect us. No greater love has anyone than this, but what they lay down their life for their friends. These are the words of Jesus, and these are the words of faith. These are the words of Christianity. This is the foundation of Christianity. The foundation of Christianity is not building bigger buildings. The foundation of Christianity is not having people who can wield political power. That is not the foundation of Christianity. The foundation of Christianity is love, or it's nothing. And that's what the whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, is all about. If I have no love, yet I can move mountains, I am nothing. And this needs to be repeated over and over and over for us all. So to the end that I'm sharing with you this week on the No BS Bishop, that there's an artistic flair in my heart about this idea of love. I want you to think about how many books have been written, fiction. I don't mean how-to love books. I don't mean nonfiction. I mean fiction. How many books have been written about love? How many stories? How many sonnets? How many songs, right? I don't care what your favorite genre of music is. So much of music is really just about what? Love. Love is that energy that is keeping artistic expression alive. And the reason for that is simply that because of our DNA, that what part of me where love lives, it lives right there to be expressed. So I find that when I am afraid of intimacy, then I'm holding love at bay. And if I'm holding love at bay, I'm getting a little flat and gray in the way I live. But when I put my guard down, when I drop my guard and I become easily given toward love, that's when my creative ideas start to run and flow. That's when I start to feel, right? That's what love does. Love invites us to feel. And in the feelings of love, then there has to be some expression. And in our expressions, there needs to be, there is a beckoning call to be alive with artistic modes and expressions. I wrote these words just recently as well. If we're running away from long-term intimacy, we're probably also running away from truths we need to stop and face. Yeah, I know a lot of our relationships are not a lot. Some, let's put it to that term. Some of our relationships should be jettisoned. I get that. But even if we jettison a relationship, sustain love in your heart. Like Jesus said, love your enemies. Not because you're looking to win an enemy over to you. You may, but that it keeps your own mind and heart from becoming stagnant and gray and granite-like. To keep your mind and heart artistically alive, love your enemies. But when we have long-term intimacy, it's complicated. And yeah, we know it's an uphill climb. But understand this. When we run from love, we're running from our real life. When we run from long-term intimacy, we're running from the beauty we could otherwise embrace and discover. I believe every child is an artist. I believe every child is born as an artist. And yeah, they find other purposes through education and through practice in this life. But I believe every child is an artist, and every child wants to draw a picture. And usually that picture has something to do with mom or dad or my little sister or my little brother or my big sister or my big brother. That child's art is usually some kind of a crudely drawn heart that's, you know, colored in with red or other colors. Every child is an artist because every child knows I'm alive to love. I truly believe that. Yes, I am just that naive. So if you need to fuss with me about that, go ahead and fuss. But I believe every child is an artist because every child loves. I know that when I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I reasoned as a child. But now that I'm a full-grown adult, I carry my reasoning other places. But I also know this, that in this one and only life, I know that love is more than a feeling. Love is more than some simplistic cliche. that love encompasses for me every powerful positive force for human development. Love is always there to charge forward when disappointment is beating me up. Love keeps me centered in this world of so many questions, that the rule of love is not just some kind of optional equipment. When you buy a car, you say, gosh, what kind of options will I get with this car? Let me tell you, love is the engine for every car. Love is the locomotion to move that car down the road. When we choose to live by love, we are choosing to live by the very power and force that we were put on this earth to live for. Here's Pierre Teilhard de Chardin's quote again. Someday, after we have mastered the winds and the waves, the tides and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And then for the second time in history, for the world, humanity will have discovered fire again. When love has been taken beyond the scientific formulas, when love is taken beyond the equations, when love is taken beyond, even as I said here, our basic DNA, when love grows outside those easy perimeters, then love becomes the fire and the purpose of the human condition. I just know, Richard Rohr said this, I just know that part of me that is love itself will always be the part that I'm going to fall back into. And when I move my life, my identity, this is Richard Rohr saying, when I move my identity to that level of deep inner contentment, I realize again that I'm drawing upon a life that is much larger than my own, and it forms a deeper abundance when I remember that there is that part of me that is love itself, that is going to resound and reappoint itself if I've been disappointed, to be loving in the face of all lesser values. See, when I come here every week, I recognize I have an inexhaustible subject. I really do. I recognize it needs to be treated as such, that it needs to, we are called upon to see love as this, the final territory, the final exploration of all human existence, that love will cross every barrier, that love will cross all cultural barriers, that love will answer every political question, that love will answer every dilemma of what we're fighting with and we're struggling with. In fact, I just know that at the end of all of life, I say this routinely to people. When I do meditation and prayer for a group I work with, I always invite them to close their thinking down from all the complexities for just a moment. And I say, I want you to imagine the most loving, kind, gentle, and yet most powerful eyes you can dream of. I want you to know that in the last moment when you close your eyes for the last time in this life, you will mystically, as it were magically, open your eyes into the face of those kind, gentle, powerful, all-encompassing, loving eyes, because that will be the love of God. And it will be a reminder then that we could have always lived all of our days looking into the eyes of love. I always close the No BS Bishop Alive to Love with two practices, and one is to breathe. And breathing is this invitation to serenity, to get in touch with your most basic human biology, breath, to inhale love, to exhale gratitude. All right? On the count of three, take the deepest breath you can and hold it in the basement of your lungs. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And say thank you. The second exercise we close with is a challenge from me to practice this, oh my goodness, practice the most awkward and yet most powerful human practice that you could, and that is to look someone in the eye, slow the words down, I love you. Those three words are the most healing, holy, magical, charmed words in the human language. Find somebody. Yeah, I know, it's a little clumsy, but once you get used to it, you just want to do it. Say, I love you to somebody soon. You never know whose life you could literally save if you said to that person, I love you. It's meditative, isn't it? It's serenity in three words. And it's the power of saving our own life when we give it with that artistic beauty. Thanks for being here again today, letting me rant and rave and carry on about my favorite subject, love. I'm hoping more and more of you will make it your favorite subject. Now go out there and do something beautiful in this wild, crazy, painful world. Do something beautiful and make that beauty the creation and the display of love wherever you go. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.